Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 11, The Boiling Pot of Anger. It's essential to simmer down. Anger is like scalding hot water that boils over and blisters the hearts and minds of those it spills onto, regardless of their age or the type of relationship, such as spouse, child, family member, friend, coworker, etc. Anger can bring about disastrous outcomes either immediately or long term. It's much more difficult to heal the harm anger does than working at overcoming it before more and more damage happens. Therefore, it's essential we learn ways to simmer down so we don't boil over with anger that devalues a person in ways we don't even realize. What does the Bible say about anger? Everyone will have anger at some time in their life. It's a human reaction to hardships in life and relationships. Scripture is very clear in telling us what God thinks about anger and also how he wants us to deal with it. He doesn't say we won't ever get angry for understandable and seemingly justifiable reasons, such as the murder of the innocent. But nonetheless, God wants us to deal with anger issues his way, not only for our own good, but for the good of our relationships and the people in it. Anger itself is not sin, but how we deal with our anger determines whether it is sinful or not. We are responsible for our own reactions, regardless of what another person chooses to do or not do. Being angry is not the problem. What we do with our anger is the problem. This is important because anger can create a multitude of layered negative outcomes for both the angry person and the one on the receiving end of anger. Anger is more about how we respond to God's way of dealing with it instead of reacting out of anger when people or situations deeply frustrate us. Thankfully, God's word contains solutions regarding anger. God tells us we are to put off anger and wrath and put on specific characteristics that take the place of anger. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's easy to get angry. It's far harder to choose God's way of developing Christ-like character, even during potentially angry situations. But the eventual rewards, including perseverance, maturity, and wisdom in how to handle these times, will transform the way we walk with God despite what happens around us. It only gets worse when we continually give in to angry reactions and outbursts. And it only gets better when we gather God's grace to use better ways to deal with anger. What are some of the causes of anger? Mounting frustration over annoying things that keep adding up. Exhaustion from being overwhelmed and stressed out. not being able to correct or improve a situation. Offenses that are not resolved. Exasperation of not being listened to, valued, or appreciated. Having no boundaries with toxic people or ongoing negative relationships. Either doing someone else's responsibilities or not doing mine. Being badly or unfairly treated. Built up bitterness and unforgiveness. My needs, goals, or wants being continually ignored. Abusive treatment physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually, and spiritually. And there are many more personal causes of anger. Anger is especially damaging to family members because these are the ones we trust and want to be valued by. It's important to remember that anger devalues a person. When we rationalize our outbursts of anger, we are actually minimizing the negative effects it has on the person who is receiving it. It's confusing when continual angry outbursts are a way of life within the family circle. This takes away the safety and security all family members should experience. People who are the recipients of anger usually deal with it in two main ways, even though these can switch from time to time. First, it can create a seething sort of anger and resentment on the inside, where it is hidden but will eventually come out in some way. This is especially true with children, as they don't know how to deal emotionally with the after effects of the angry outbursts from their parents. Because of different personality types, some spouses will do this, and then there will be layers and layers of resentment in their marriage as they hold it inside. Or the second way, it is shown on the outside, where anger begets anger that is boiling over and shown in obvious ways. This can be especially true with older children and their parents, or in marriage situations when it's the norm. Warning. Anger can become very abusive in the form of verbal, emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical ways. Abuse is not acceptable in any relationship. Abuse is defined as the cruel and injurious mistreatment of someone and therefore that can cause lasting harm in various ways. When anger goes too far and is not controlled, it can become dangerous. Please seek help from authorities and professionals if this is the case. Now, just a note, outbursts of anger that are dealt with, asked forgiveness for, resolved, and repented of are not the same as continual, unrepentive, angry, habitual behavior. Children and anger. I just want to start by saying this is not about guilt. This is a delicate subject and hard to hear, but anyone can be on a better road to dealing with children in exasperating situations. But the parent needs to believe anger is not the way to deal with problems because anger does not have long-term beneficial results. A parent might get what they want in the moment after displaying their anger, but the child carries that anger with them for a long, long time. We must realize the fire of anger, which burns over without restraint, results in layers and layers of pain and harm, leaving devastation in its wake. Children don't know how to deal with all the negative emotions and thoughts they are trying to privately deal with because they are too immature to explain what is going on inside their head and heart. Children's hearts and brains are tender and easily wounded, especially by their parents. Yes, parents can and definitely should be strong and firm and have consequences, but anger shouldn't be a part of this. And this includes children of any age, along with adult children. And this doesn't mean we can't correct and rebuke and say hard things, but using self-control during these difficult times will have far better value for the relationship, especially as the years go by. People may say dealing with children in an angry way is necessary, justified, and understandable, and besides, everyone does it. But if you sit at a counseling desk with me and hear the hearts of children that grew up into adults with the memory of this kind of treatment, believe me when I say it is not good. The damage goes deep, and it can take years for those adult kids to learn how to overcome the hurt their parents put on them through continual and now unrepentant anger. Again, this is not about guilt, but rather it is about asking for forgiveness, doing whatever is necessary to be part of the restoration and healing process, and then redefining the different type of parent we will be from this point on. It's amazing how God can grow this parent-child relationship into a beautiful, strong bond, regardless of the past. And lastly, here's a verse to think about in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This verse means we will exasperate our children if we put high expectations on them or require too much of them. We can also provoke children to anger when we ourselves are angry. And this doesn't just mean fathers. This also includes mothers. The balance in this, I have also seen where older children have no grace for the mistakes parents have made. They act like they are entitled to a family that only treats them with the absolute utmost care, with no wrongs that should have been done to them. It's as though some adult kids think they had so much trauma in their childhood, and thus they are too wounded to deal with life. In reality, they lived with a parent or parents that tried their best to love them, train them, and treat them well, but whoops, surprise upon surprise, sometimes those parents didn't do what they should have. But their mistakes are not so monumental that they can't forgive their parents and look rather at all the good that was given to them. So the focus is on all the bad of the parents as they forget the good and therefore refuse to be forgiving, showing understanding, and having a grateful heart. We don't want to minimize hurts that come from family members and make restoration, but we certainly don't want to maximize them either. Anyway, that's a whole other consulting dilemma. So, back to the issue of anger. It is not acceptable for us to continually display it without any remorse or the desire to change this type of behavior, nor is it acceptable for it to be done to us. For example, in a marriage where continuous, harsh, outbursts of blown-up anger are the normal style of communication. This doesn't mean that that couple divorces. It simply means the one giving into anger and the one receiving it really should go to counseling. If one spouse won't go, then the other one needs to, even if alone. I'm not talking about being an overly sensitive, easily offended person. We can't think people are porcupines with quills that are continually poking at us and thus hurting us over every little thing. We must learn to deal with offense and the wrongs of others. Welcome to life! And the sinful behavior of others that, by the way, we ourselves also must do better at. But that's much different than ongoing abusive, angry behavior. There's hope no matter what has happened in relationships if people are willing to work at restoring it. God can transform any life if people are humble enough to do whatever is necessary to change. This is important. Any anger that leads to abuse should be addressed with local authorities, professional help, or other means. And by the way, physical violence is never acceptable. Let's do PAT, practical application tools. 4 tools on how to simmer down. First tool, assess why you are angry. Second tool, attack the problem and not the person. Third tool, focus on the fruits. Fourth tool, remember God's verses. First tool, assess why you are angry. Luke 6, verse 45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says that we can know what is going on inside of a person or what their root issues are because of what they say or how they respond to certain circumstances. Anger can be the outcome of a root issue that has not been dealt with, healed from, or resolved. So if a person has an angry spirit, then there is anger that continually brews within them and then comes out of them. Many times, angry outbursts are there because of a hypersensitivity to someone or something that is going on, and then that triggers them. Therefore, it's not so much about the child or spouse or someone else or even particular circumstances, but rather it's about the baggage that comes from past experiences or people that have nothing to do with the present. They are just reacting from something deep within that, their heart, that has not been dealt with or healed. Perhaps there was or is abuse issues or emotional damage from being rejected, neglected, abandoned, or betrayed. Go back and listen to the previous part in this podcast on the causes of anger. Do any of those describe your root issues that can cause you to react in anger, or is it something totally different? It's important you overcome personal root issues so you can effectively and efficiently get rid of anger as soon as possible. If you don't know what is triggering you or what your baggage might be, then seek out wise, godly counsel to help you, and then be committed and consistent in doing whatever needs to be done to set you free. Many times, anger issues will go away when the root issues are dealt with. Second tool, attack the problem and not the person. Reacting with anger means we are attacking the person. Attacking the problem means we have solutions to the problem. This prevents us from attacking people with anger because we don't know how to deal with our problems. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's so important to remember, no matter what we do, the one thing that matters more than anything is to love. Love shows we value the people God made. Anger devalues them. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Again, God is telling us how important faith and hope are, but the greatest is love. God loved us while we were sinners and still loves us, even though we continue to sin. So one of the greatest things we can do is treat others with love instead of with anger. Even when they are getting on our last nerve, a better way to deal with it is to stop and ask God to help us choose love over anger. Anger and love aren't partners that work together. One builds and the other tears down. Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This means we are to treat others as we would want to be treated. Do we want people to yell and scream at us with their anger? Do we like it when others are demeaning to us and speak to us in a hateful way? Sometimes in life we forget that no matter who we are with, no matter what is going on in life, the greatest thing we can do is show them love and respond with love, even when they don't deserve it. Remember the balance. Sometimes we need to deal with issues in a very firm and strong way, but anger is not one of those ways. We are to correct and rebuke and speak hard truths when necessary. There needs to be consequences in certain circumstances, but we don't add anger to this. Doing these things without anger is also a way we show love to others. And by the way, the tone of our voice, the level of our voice, the look on our face, and our body language, such as hands on our hips with our fingers pointed at someone, are various ways we can display anger. Third tool, focus on the fruits. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Try to memorize these verses. Focus on them by continually saying them over and over again in your mind when you are tempted to react with anger. And then use those fruits of the Spirit to respond God's way with kindness, compassion, and courtesy, with patience, gentleness, and self-control, with mercy, grace, and a humble heart. Keep in mind that anger can start in our thoughts, and then those thoughts will direct our angry words, hostile attitudes, demeaning behavior, and harmful reactions. This is why we deal with it right away in our thoughts before the dam opens up and there is a flood of angry, turbulent waters pouring over someone. This is called brain retraining. The word train is in brain retraining. And that's what it means. We must train our brains to stop going down the path of angry reactions and then start replacing that by responding God's way. But training means we do it immediately and don't toy with what is only trying. Training takes commitment and consistency, and then we will be stronger and stronger in responding the right way instead of reacting the wrong way. It takes a lot of practice, but then it becomes a habit with God's help. Fourth tool, remember God's verses. It is Scripture, the living Word of God, that doesn't go void and truly transforms our life if we apply it. This is why it's important to remember and recycle God's specific verses on anger in our mind on a daily basis as we work at overcoming this. We pray God will create new hearts in us that are kind instead of cruel, that are patient instead of harsh, that are gentle instead of angry. So let's look at these verses in Proverbs about anger. Let me just read these to you real quick. Perhaps you could jot down the ones you could memorize and meditate on and then put them into practice when the storm of anger starts to thunder all around you. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 14, verse 29. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Wrath is cruel. Anger is overwhelming. Proverbs 27, verse 4. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Proverbs 29, verse 22. And here's just a few other verses on anger. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Psalm 37, verse 8. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1, verse 20. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Lastly, there are a couple of verses to look at. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, in the New International Version translation, it says, in your anger, do not sin. In other words, God is not commanding us to be angry, but rather, when we are angry, do not sin by reacting in an angry way, with angry words, a hostile attitude, wrathful actions, such as slamming doors, yelling and screaming, name-calling, and etc. Another example is, even though evil can anger us, we are not to pour that wrath on others. For example, vigilante actions. Something that can turn our anger into deeper anger that festers is when we don't deal with anger as soon as possible. The longer we wait to resolve an issue, the more opportunity there is for resentment and unforgiveness to build, and then we can become bitter and even more angry. We must do whatever we can to humbly communicate in a way that would try to restore a difficult situation. Unfortunately, realistically, this is not always possible or even beneficial in that moment of time for many reasons to deal with the anger. Examples might be showing deference to the person that has the flu, is excessively tired and not able to engage in the conversation because they're a policeman or a firefighter, or the person is still very angry and is not willing to talk to you. We can't force what is not going to work, but we try the best we can. This is not about perfection, but rather discernment and how to do this. Regardless, we need to deal with our personal responsibility of doing whatever is necessary with a humble heart so we don't give the devil a foothold or opportunity to cause us to become bitter and resentful, callous and cold. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Therefore, we must constantly be on guard with not letting any sin, such as anger, take hold of us by not dealing with it as quickly as possible. What is righteous anger? It is described as being righteous when it is directed toward what angers God, such as child abuse, murder, rape, sexual deviancy. But we are not to pour sin into our anger with how we react to that. Righteous anger is when we realize God is a just God and He will handle it in His way and in His timing. This does not mean we don't use the legal system or government authorities or some others in some cases. However, righteous indignation or anger is not about me being offended. Righteous anger does not mean I have the right to act out my anger because of the wrong done to me. It doesn't mean I have to ignore it or be passive about it. It simply means I need to make sure and handle the wrong done to me in the right way, even if I am angry about it. Let's recap the four tools on how to simmer down. First tool, assess why you are angry. Second tool, attack the problem and not the person. Third tool, focus on the fruits. Fourth tool, remember God's verses. Okay, we are done. This was a longer teaching, so thanks for hanging in there with me. I hope these tools help you. Please share this with others and don't forget to subscribe so you can keep getting the new podcast every Wednesday afternoon. Let's end with this poem. Do you truly love me? I know I displease you so many times and in so many ways. But if you truly love me, please be patient with me. I know I don't deserve your kindness because I fail so many times by not doing what I should. But if you truly love me, don't pour your anger on me. I know you forget that my heart is easily broken because you are one of the greatest joys of my life. But if you truly love me, please stop making my heart bleed. Why do I ask these things of you? Because in my darkest moments of failing you, I still need you to show me I am worth your unconditional love. It's the greatest memory you will ever give me. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.